days I seem to think about how all the changes came about my way. And I wonder if I'd see another highway. I had a lover. I don't think I risk another these days. If I seem to be afraid to live the life that I have made in song, it's just that I've been losing so long. I won't do too much scheming these days I sit on cornerstones and count the time in quarter turns to ten. Please don't confront me with my failures. I had not forgotten them.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Skakuya, Talit, Tim, Homasquim, Mustail.
What's up? Welcome back to the Filipino Fridays podcast. We are on episode 3. I am your host, OJ, along with my co-hosts.
Hey, I'm Archie.
What's up, y'all? It's Archia.
And we got an exciting episode for you today. First of all, we'd like to say thank you to everybody who's tuned in, who showed us some love. Shout out to everybody who DM'd us and told us how they resonated with the episode. Because of that, we got some really exciting guests coming on. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for tuning in. Continue to tune in. And don't forget to share the podcast, rate the podcast, review it, and also follow us at
Filipino Fridays
podcast.
Podcast on Instagram.
That's right. So, OJ, what is our topic for today?
Today's topic is, roll in the drum roll, TFC.
It ain't the show, y'all.
Not the show.
Nah, no love teams here.
TFC for today's episode will be toxic Filipino
culture. That's right. This seems to be a common topic among the younger Filipino generation, and it's difficult to talk about it with the older generation because it's something that they don't acknowledge, but it's very much a normal part of our life, a normal part of our families. So we're going to kick it off. Now, you know, before cancel culture was invented or even labeled, Filipinos started it.
We got that.
Right? What's cancel culture? Always calling out somebody or making an opinion or judgment about them and saying it to them, to their face, with no sense of sensitivity, no sense, like, it's just really an ignorant action.
Fact.
Right? And it is a regular thing that we had to face as, you know, a Filipino millennial, being canceled out, quote, really, by our elders, mm-hmm. or you know, our titas, our titos, even our parents.
Mostly our parents.
Yeah. What tends to happen in the family dynamic is we always have this struggle with trying to understand each other in the family structure. Yep. Because obviously as the younger generation, we're so accustomed to being in this hierarchy where it's one-sided, right? Mm. We can't make mistakes, or there's no room to make mistakes, and they always tell you off that, like, you know, you should have just listened to me. So yeah, Archia, you want to dive into that a little bit?
Well, I think there's like a really fine line between like tough love and just like rude. You know, yeah, most of it comes from family for sure. I think a lot of time you gotta have like thick skin, but there's like a time where the line's crossed and it affects everything else. It's like
But the thing is that you mentioned that line crossed, right? Yeah. But you don't really know what that line is.
Yeah.
Until you know you're really done with it, right? So
yeah.
While you're growing up, you see things, you witness things, you feel things, victim to things, right? Until things get really, you hit a point and then it's like, well, okay, that's over the top. And that usually hits, I think, in teenage years.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Because all you do is you listen to your parents, you listen. What they say is God's gospel, right?
Yeah.
It's Bible, right? So you can't go against it.
Yeah. And it's because you say, like, you know, you have to listen to me. I don't want you to make mistakes. They say that they explain that it's because they care about you. But sometimes, you know, what they do is they say hurtful things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times they don't mean it. But let's be honest, like, it cuts, right? It cuts deep. And a lot of us, we shrug it off. You put it aside. We try to forget about it. But then, you know, as you get older, you get a bit wiser. And then you kind of acknowledge, like, oh crap, like
that was me.
Yeah, that was me that hurt, man. Mm-hmm. And like then it makes the relationship with your parents a little bit more complicated, mm-hmm. right? I'll be honest, you know, I had a not so great teenage years.
Sorry,
I followed my parents a lot.
What? I'm already rolling my eyes.
I didn't get along with my parents when I was younger because I was just so stubborn and I wanted to explore and do my own thing. And my parents are proud people and they always insisted that I should listen to whatever they say so that I don't make any mistakes. And my argument is always that in order for me to learn, I need to make these mistakes, right? I need to fail. And there's like, I don't know how many of y'all out there that are older or the eldest kid, like there is no room for mistakes in their eyes. Like you can't screw up, right? They have this expectation and so they pressure you a lot. And so when you do screw up, like they attack you about that. And then then you turn inwards and then it kind of erodes your self-esteem. And then you start to question like your own decision-making capabilities. And sometimes you get a little bit insecure or unsure of like what your next step is because your parents totally force you to this way of thinking that they impart on you or impose on you because they think they're right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, I'll admit it was a bit challenging and over the years. And let's be honest, and I hope this is okay with some of you.
Keep it 100.
We are going to have to do the hard work, right? Mm. It's hard to teach old dog new tricks. It's hard, even if we try to communicate with our parents, like, hey, mom, hey, dad, like, that kind of hurts. Like, hey, by the way, I'm of this age now. I can come to my own judgments, come to my own decisions. But yeah, a lot of them are going to be set in their ways. They're going to be set in their own thinking. And with information and social media and the internet being in our generation, we have more disposal to evaluating things as we consume information. And we can come up with our own conclusions. And unfortunately, with our generation, we just have to learn to accept and work through that we're going to have to put in the work. We're going to have to, you know, figure out how to bridge that gap with our parents, with our elders, in communicating to them effectively when, you know, when we hit a point where they're lecturing us, even though they're not exactly correct.
Yeah. We've all been through those 3-hour lectures. Okay, we're sitting on the side of the bed. You're not saying anything.
Yeah.
Your eyes are closing because they've been talking for so long.
Your PTSD coming back up.
But okay, let me play devil's advocate.
Yeah, go for it.
So the main idea of why they teach us this, they raise us in this certain ways because they're older.
They have experience, they
don't want you to make the same mistakes
they did.
That they did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have so many thoughts in my head right now.
Yeah.
You gotta put it out.
Oh, man.
I
put my mom on blast, man. Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't want to share too much about it.
Yeah, of course.
Just...
Yeah, we've all experienced it. If you say something, it's considered talking back or disrespectful. And even if you communicate what you're saying, for example, if they're telling you that, you know, ang tanga-tanga mo, or you're so dumb, you're so stupid, like, why did you make this mistake or whatever? And when you try to provide your own rationale, they either say that you're talking back or bastos ka. But then at the same time, you're kind of like, okay, well, I guess I'm not able to express myself, or I'm not able to communicate like how I'm able to feel. And unfortunately, a lot of families have to deal with that, right? A lot of the kids have to just keep that pain, or kinikimkim nila yung saman ng loob, or in translation, they keep that hurt to themselves because they don't feel like they are able to communicate that with their parents, or they are able to communicate that with their guardians, because of that's how the Filipino household structure is built.
Yeah.
Right?
I have a story, quick story.
Yeah, for sure.
So I come home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the best student in high school. So I come home. We're all in the family. We put on the answering machine because back then there was an answering machine, right? So I get the principal, leaves a message that I'm not doing good in school. Kind of skipping class. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get that side eye from my dad.
Oh no!
Sure, God,
I'm dead.
Yeah, and I really thought I was gonna die, man. So he says, you know, blah blah blah. You're so stupid. Who you think you are?
Yeah.
And he kept.
I taught you better than that.
Yeah, I never raised you like that. Mm-hmm. Who you think you are? And you know, lack of a better word, he kept shitting on me.
Yeah.
He kept stepping on me.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't. He come up close and he's pushing me, shoving me, and I give him this look, just a look. Yeah. Like a glare, basically, because I'm anything. you know when you're a kid, you just pace around your room like,
yeah.
Right? So I'm giving him that look, and he's like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
So he's taunting me.
I don't think thinking
much.
They antagonize you, man.
You can't turn back.
I know that.
Man.
You can't turn back.
Yeah, and you, like you said, I can't turn back. Balled my, I made a fist. Okay, I made a fist. And I attempted to punch him.
Yeah, yeah.
But before I landed that punch, I get the slap. Okay? But here's the messed up part of this.
Yeah.
Going to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
He says, why did you hit me back? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm being bastos because I feel threatened.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's not the first time I've been disciplined, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that I actually felt attacked.
Yeah.
And my fight or flight reflexes came in, and I just happened to fight.
I'm not proud of it, but I have had.
You've had the same.
My sister and I have had the same encounter with our parents, more so my dad. Like, you know.
It's always the dads, man.
Y'all don't want
to. Because they're the tough guys.
Here's the crazy part. When it happened, because my dad and I, our fight escalated. When it happened, I had adrenaline. Like,
yeah.
I had adrenaline so much coursing through my body that, like, when I pushed them back, right, I, like, actually was in shock and surprised of my own strength. Because
mm-hmm.
he was like, what the, where is this going?
You must have been really, really, like, pumped.
Yeah, and that's because, like, we were at such an extremely heated, like, situation. Obviously, me and my dad are cool now. I love him to bits. And it really took me moving out for him to acknowledge that the fights really weren't worth it. And that I, like, before he knew it, I grew up too fast for him. I had moved out, then I got engaged, and then I got married, and then he blinks, and that's it. Like, I have my own life going on. So, unfortunately, like, at home, it would have been super challenging. And when I look back, it's like, oh man, some of these fights I wish they acknowledged wasn't like worth it, mm-hmm. and that they would really approach it a different way or maybe stand down that way for the sake of our parent-child relationship, it would be more harmonious. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's like, you know, when you appreciate something more once it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out of the house. My energy is gone. I'm sure he probably missed scuffling, too.
Well, that's why I'm there.
And that's why they're stuck with my sister. Yeah. That's the thing, unfortunately, for us in the younger generation. And when we get into these situations with our parents, it really affects our relationship with them. Mm-hmm. For some, more harmful than others. In our generation, let's just acknowledge the fact that we're just going to have to put in the work more, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And build that relationship with them. And it takes a lot out of a person to have to acknowledge that and work through that, because it's frustrating, man, when they're on you like that all the time. Like, it makes you feel like you're a constant disappointment. It affects your self-esteem, your self-worth. I'm supposed to be your kid. Like, I thought you loved me, you know? Like, it makes you question.
Yeah. You know, actually... Yeah. There was a tweet I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And it said, respect my elders? Absolutely. That you disrespect me because you're my elder? No. And I agree with that 100%.
There's a way of discipline, and I don't know why almost all Filipino parents discipline their way, where it's like one way. I actually think it's interesting because, like, my mom disciplines me, like, with her mouth. She runs off, right? She doesn't hit, but she runs off with her mouth, and that's how we escalate. And I'm sure a lot of you guys and your moms can can relate with your moms in that kind of situation. But it boggles my mind because her parents, my grandparents, they don't discipline that way. They, like, talk it out. They talk you through it. And whenever I would go at it with my parents, like, I'll run to my grandparents because they may explain what my parents were saying in a much more calmer and level-headed and logical way than how my parents were doing it, that I actually understand it a bit more rather than them, like, kind of at me for it. Yeah. So a lot of us children always get our backs up against the wall because we are stuck in this hierarchy of, you know, one-sidedness where the parents are able to come after us like that. And then when you express and communicate how you're feeling and why you're reacting that way, it's considered disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's considered out of line or bastoso. Sino ka? You know?
Parang kaya mo kung sino ka? Kapag-kapag mo kung ano? Ah, halika dito!
Oh my god. But like going back to my story, like, can you believe that? Like, he thought I'm disrespectful because I'm defending myself.
See, like, that's what I'm trying to, like, come on, man. Like, you stand up for yourself and it's disrespectful to them. Like, I don't know where that comes from. Like, where does that come from?
Yeah, I think that's hard for us to explain. That's hard for us to understand.
Man.
I tried to do research on it, man. There's, like, no explanation for why the parent dynamic is like that for Filipino parents. That's why there's, like, memes about it. Like, I bought this print from Calligraphy. Shout out, Isabel, calligraphy.co. Buy her prints, her pins, her stickers. I'll show it to you right after this. And the print is called Choose Your Weapon. And
I can already imagine it. You don't have to tell me what's
there. There's a chinelas. There is a belt.
Yeah.
There is a hanger. But that is how Filipino parents discipline. And they say it's Christian discipline. No, it's not. Like,
no.
you don't need to discipline that way. You know, once upon a time, I got the belt. I got the slipper and the bum. If you want to go old school discipline, you know, my grandpa... back in the Philippines, like, because I lived in the province. I grew up in the province, right? Like, we're in the rural, like, part of the province.
Yeah.
My grandpa had coarse, really large, coarse salt or asin, and he made me kneel on it.
Oh.
And I had to stay there for, like...
You know that's a form of torture, right?
In schools, Dad actually said that when he got disciplined, they made him kneel in rice.
Yeah, but that's how they grew up. Yeah, that's what discipline was when they were growing up. Maybe the Western folks here might think this is horrible, but even in elementary school, we actually did get disciplined like this. Like, for me, for example, I had computer class, with the computers first came out. And they made me put my back up against the wall, or even without the wall. And then they made you bend your knees with your arms out. And then they also
put books on
your arms, right? So your muscles are like burning and you're like sweating so bad. Not only that, I have to tell you the story. They're not even my parents. That's the thing. It is a Filipino culture trait, right, of how to discipline. When I was going to school in the Philippines, we always had like pageants and stuff. So how my school is arranged, it's like a semicircle, like a horseshoe,
yeah,
right? And in the middle is the flagpole. And basically, there was this girl and I were talking so much, but if you can believe, she talked more than I did. And the teacher was so fed up with her that she made her go to the office, get the pageant crown,
yeah,
and made her walk around in a circle in the middle so that all the classes could see her.
Oh my God.
Like, and then like the teacher's like, well, since you're the queen of talking, eh, napaka princess mo naman eh, ang daldal mo. So, sige ka, ayan, yeah, lumabas ka dyan. And then that discipline by humiliation. Like,
yeah.
That's humiliation, public humiliation. Damn.
Yeah, got the stick to the fingers. Yeah.
Oh my God.
See, it's not just like parents, it's like.
It's all our trauma coming out right now.
Yeah, all our trauma is coming out in the podcast. It's like a way of disciplining that they all are familiar with that is normal.
Mm-hmm. Right? To them. And well, wouldn't it be fair that to us it's normal too?
We've normalized it.
Yeah.
But from the outside perspective, they think it's horrible. Like people would like, you know, call the authorities about this. Mm-hmm. But then for us, it's like, okay, this is a normal part of our culture, which really shouldn't be normalized, right?
Yeah. Well, look, I believe in a good spanking as a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in abusing as a punishment.
At all. I agree 100%.
You know, there's different methods to punish someone, right? But to demean them or insult them and make them, like you said, feel insecure.
Yeah.
The long-term effects outweigh the short-term.
Exactly. It's harmful. It's damaging. And you know what? Let's be honest. It creates resentment. Kids are going to end up hating their parents. And they're going to be cut off from their culture, their parents, because of that type of experience. Mm-hmm. Right?
So. Yeah, that's tough.
But, you know, along with that, let's continue with other toxic Filipino traits. Mm-hmm. So we previously mentioned like crab mentality, right? And that's really bringing each other down. How about like being constantly judgmental? And we're talking about this in a larger form. It saddens me that there's never a way where some fellow Filipino could just be happy for you.
It's always genuinely. A competition. It's always something that, I don't know what it is.
Ang yabang-yabang naman, ganyan-ganyan. Like, they always have to shame you about something. If it's not, like, body shaming, it's, like, smart shaming. It's, like, equality shaming. It's, like, there's always, like, an opinion. Why is the knee-jerk reaction for among Filipinos is to, you know, come after each other like that? Which is, like, there's always a retort. There's always a remark. There's always a...
Yeah.
You know?
I think this topic is... It's something that's not going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
And it will be tough to change that mentality. Because, let's face it, man. My mom was just telling me a story yesterday. She was talking smack about someone the other day.
Our mom was last.
Yeah,
oh my God.
This will take time, guys. Okay.
Over the weekend, my mom does.
Well, that's you know what these people are. Yeah, you know they're called, right? The moms like that. They're called the chismosas. The chismosas are the worst.
Yeah.
That's our own pandemic in itself, yo.
Yeah, that's the worst. The chismosas are the worst. Not the chismos, like, chismis in general is bad, but the chismosas, the Filipina chismosas.
Yeah. Always up in your business.
Oh, my God.
But when you turn it back on them, they'll be like, ano ka? Like, they get their backs up. They get so defensive. But they feel like they have the audacity to get up in your face and get up in your business and have an opinion about whatever, that's your deal.
The pole is so far up, man. So far up.
And a lot of these chismosas are also, like, pretty proud, right? Like, let's be honest. I love Pinoy pride. I got pride for my culture. I got pride for my heritage. Yeah. But there's also where there's like proud in a sense where like they're a bit too conceited, a bit too much about themselves, that they make opinions about others when they have no place to do so.
Yeah.
Oh, nagpa-retoke ya. Tingnan mo, iba na yung itsura. Like, translation. Oh, look, she got plastic surgery because she looks different. Oh, really? Like, they got into that school? Oh, I bet they did something scandalous. Like,
oh, my God.
Why? Kakaloka, may ganyan-ganyan. Like, there's always...
Che.
Yeah, Che. Tita Che. Shout out. To that, to that comedian. But yeah, but like, why is that? Like, what?
Again, we don't know, man. We don't know where this comes
from. It is unexplainable, but I'm sure a lot of you guys relate to it. Oh, sorry, my chair just—I kept on rocking my chair there. I apologize.
Well, we could dissect it a little bit. Like, they're just jealous, or they wish they had what they had, or they don't want to see someone succeed because they're not. Right?
Yeah. That's true. It really comes down from that. And then, like, for example, I'll even bring up English, speaking English, right? If it doesn't make them feel uncomfortable, we're like, ay, manonosweed ako dyan. On the other end, it'd be like, ang yabang yabang. Like, oh, that person's so arrogant, right? Look at them speaking, spoken in English. Look, who do they think they are?
My mom did that too. She's like, ah, oh, that Filipina at McDonald's. I'm clearly Filipina. She's talking to me in English. Oh, yeah, come on, man.
Like, you live out here. Of course, like, the professional working language is English. I mean,
McDonald's.
McDonald's.
That's like the same thing if you were to get mad at a Philippine Airlines flight attendant for speaking English.
That's right. Yeah, actually, yeah. It just boggles my mind why we have these, unfortunately, Filipino traits, like toxic Filipino traits. But I think the most... toxic of all that really divides families more than even these other traits that we just spoke about is the attitude about money. Let's talk shmoney, y'all. Let's talk shmoney. I'm going to share my story a little bit, right, to start off.
Yeah.
Born, obviously, here. Grew up in the Philippines, then moved back here, right? And then I, you know, started working. I've been working since I was 16. And I went home a couple times. And I'll be honest, I have been blessed to be able to go home on my own dime, right?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's not easy. I was hustling, selling shoes at Nine West. Right? I save up my money and... You know, I worked in retail. I saved my money and I like go home and I didn't have to ask my parents for money and I could like, it felt good to be independent and go home on my own dime. So when I went home for my cousin's wedding, I did a side trip to the province where I grew up. I decided to invite my other cousin.
I think I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay.
I got stuff after this too.
Yeah. I went home. So I invited my cousin. I said, hey, man, trip's on me. Can you come with? Because we're close to each other to age. So it's nice to have a buddy, right? And then I went home. We went on a bunch of different excursions. Like, we went zip lining. We went boating. We ate out. I bought her some stuff, right?
All on you.
Yeah, man. All on me. And don't get me wrong. She didn't ask for these, right?
Fair enough.
Like, there are some, let's be honest, y'all, there are some family members in the Phils who are actually just full-on shameless about asking for money, right? But in this case, she didn't ask for this. I initiated, I offered. Like, I'm not expecting her to pay me back, don't get me wrong, but the very least she could have said was thank you.
Yeah.
And before I left, like, my other aunt, she gifted me, like, this hotel stay in Manila before my flight home. And I had stayed there with my other cousin that she had met, too. And I was just so heartbroken. I was like, I worked really hard, and just because I'm from abroad, quote, right? There was this expectation that I would just foot the bill and that it's okay and I have all this money at my disposal. I was like 18, 19 on like minimum wage retail, hustling shoes, went home, saved up and, you know, spent my own money. And then the very least I could get was a thank you. And I even gave like, $1,000 to her mom. Just, you know, as a way to just as a courtesy, because let's be honest, when we have family, like that's kind of a normal thing where you just like you give a little here and there to your relatives. And I was heartbroken. And when I told my cousin this, my cousin from my dad's side, because the other cousin I took was from my mom's side. She's like, you know what? If this really hurts you, you should say something. So literally.
Tell me you did.
Yeah, literally with the last of my load, quote, the last of like the money in my phone, I called her and I was full on bawling. I was crying. I was telling her like, how could you do this to me? All you need to do is say thank you. That's all I was looking for, just an appreciation. I'm not looking for you to pay me back like maybe some other people are, right? Just because it is their money. Let's be honest, like, you know, they have their own rights to be able to ask for it back or not, whatever. But for me, my own truth, all I wanted her to, I obviously wanted to share the experience with her. I appreciated her coming on to it. I also just wanted her to just be grateful and be appreciative in the end. And for a few years, we didn't talk. Like,
wait, what? She didn't answer that text?
No, we talked on the phone.
Oh.
And she just let it out.
And what did
and
she say?
And she said sorry.
Like
no,
sincerely?
Like she meant it. Yeah, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe not.
Because
but
I'm always
to me,
a skeptical person.
I know.
I believe they're liars until I discover the truth.
Yeah. Know? But for me, I accepted it back then that she was sincerely apologetic. But I obviously put up a barrier and I didn't speak to her for years. Like, I didn't speak to her for like 5 years.
Do you still talk now?
Until I went home and then we went out and like I didn't bring it up and like we just picked up from where we were, because like she was my cousin and we were close in the sense that we were buddies, like we were close, and if only we lived in the same place together, I'm sure we'd hang out all the time. Like, I really genuinely enjoy hanging out with my cousin. And that broke my heart. Also, back then, like, obviously you're like 19 years old, you only have so much money, and like when you do it out of your heart genuinely and somebody it's more so that they expected that from you rather than, you know, appreciating it as a privilege rather than as an expectation. I'm going to be clear, and, you know, this is just, this might offend some of our listeners in the Philippines out there that might be in this situation. For some of us who maybe are from abroad or born here, grew up here, or half or whatever, like, we're not rich. Some of us are just normal, you know, normal middle class folk. We work hard days, and some of us work 2, 3, 4 jobs, right? And yeah, maybe our family sent money back in the Philippines, but that doesn't mean that we're loaded.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like we enjoy helping our family, yes, but let's not make this an expectation, right?
Well, yeah, this past February when we went back home, like, I purposely took out money so I can help them and, like, do what I can.
You want to enjoy it together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we did have times where we'd go out and I would just offer to pay, not that much anyways, but there was times when I was with a specific cousin, a specific male cousin, where we were out, and then when we were about to pay, like, he didn't say nothing. It was kind of like he was just waiting for me to pay already.
Oh.
And I was like, the man, come on. Like,
he didn't say thank you?
No, I didn't
say
thank you. I didn't get no nothing. It was kind of just like expected for me to pay. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, the, what's it called? The jeepney 10 pesos. Like, come on, like, you can't do that. Come on, man. Like, at least pay for mine. Like, jeepney 2, bro.
That's why you see that.
Yeah, that. I was like, come on. Yeah, no, like, I took out money for them. And, like, it was fine, but. Like you said, like, a good thank you would be nice.
Yeah, that's
you
all.
Know,
that's all we're looking for.
I just don't like where it turns into like
expectation.
That and like you're taking advantage of me.
Yes,
because then I'm like, oh, what you want? Like, what do you really want from me then?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I gotta say, my sister and I have been fortunate I know some others aren't. We're kind of protected in a sense because we're the younger generation in our family. But, like, I know my mom's generation has faced, like, pressure from their, like, second, you know, degree relatives for money. Mm-hmm. Because they just think, like, hey, you guys live out there. You must have money. Like, you should send some over here. I have to share the story. Oh, my God. My grandma, God bless her, she is like a pushover. She's so sweet. Like, she'll give money to everybody, anybody, if she could. She's a bleeding heart.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, we only found out after she was gone and we were sorting through her things that she had been sending money to her brother's wife. Like, low-key, nobody knew for years.
How much?
Every month. I don't know.
I'm just learning about this right now.
Yeah, like, my grandparents, they're on, like, government assistance. They can't work. They're old.
Yeah.
And for her to take it, so, just to explain, here in Canada, if you receive government assistance, it's not very much. It's really whatever's just enough.
Like, what you can get with food and
whatever. Yeah, yeah. And, like, we were all in shock, like, when we started picking out receipts. We're like, what the heck? This whole time, her sister-in-law has been getting money from her, and she's, like, struggling here, but yet she'll still send the money, and none of us knew. And so, for all we know, what did she do with that money? Because sure as heck, her brother / like, that in-law's husband did not know.
Yeah.
That, and so
it's a snake move
that blew our minds. Like, my aunts and I, my mom, when we found out, we're like, whoa. But I guess also my grandma felt like she had this, like, obligation, but she really doesn't.
It's just
she's
got a,
like,
heart.
73 years old. Like, come on.
Well, you know, there's a reason for this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lack of money knowledge, or I don't know.
Financial
literacy.
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta drop it right now. We are for sure going to have an episode on that. I feel like for all of us fellow Filipinos out here, we are behind our Asian counterparts when it comes to the shmoney game, and I want to change that. And
same.
We're going to seek out for an advisor to come on in this podcast and help us, like, you know, with budget management or financial literacy. Because let's be honest, guys, we're not taught that at all.
No, we're not.
At home, nuh-uh. Yeah.
Well, what do we know, right? You always know Western Union, Lulier.
Remitly.
You know, you go to the TNT store, and the number one economy is OFWs around the world.
Yeah.
Sending money back home.
OFWs are reason for billions of dollars that go back to the economy, the Filipino economy.
Yes.
And who are OFWs for those who don't know?
Oh, for some of you guys or some of you that are non-Filipinos who don't know what OFWs are, these are overseas Filipino workers. It's because of poor infrastructure and corrupt government that Filipinos are not able to get job opportunities, and so they look abroad, quote, you know, that's why we are in this diaspora. We're spread out across the globe because there are no opportunities to work at home, and we need to obviously feed our families, support our families, and so a lot of them opt to take jobs or foreign workers' jobs in Dubai, in Hong Kong, in Canada, right, and in Africa. Like, that's why there are so many of us across the globe, because that is what the system is that has been built, unfortunately, due to the nature of how the government has run the country for decades.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one of the reasons why I think you don't really see that many wealthy pure blood Filipinos.
Yeah, generational wealth doesn't exist.
Yeah, because all they do is send money.
Yeah,
send money. And
it doesn't encourage the rest of the other Filipinos to kind of rise up on their own, right?
Yeah.
And become entrepreneurs and become innovators and become trailblazers. And I also had to say the dynamic that affects that is also in the relationship with families, right? Let's say your mom or your dad goes overseas. right? And they go overseas, depending on their visa and the setup in their visa and the country's requirements. They're in a whole different country for years to show that they love you. They send back, you know, balik bayan boxes. They send back, you know, gifts, right? Because, like, obviously they still love you. They care about you. But what happens is when they bring their kid over to whatever country they reside on, it's like a stranger.
Yeah.
And then now you have this parent who's telling you what to do. And then it's like, well, hold on a second. I don't know you. Yeah. And it's like it's like a point of contention because you guys don't really know each other. You've spent so many years apart. And then now you have this mom or dad telling you off. And then you're like, where have you been in my life? And then there's still that deep-seated resentment, right?
Well, there's still a lot of people like that. I want to say that you guys are strong.
Yeah.
Strong, because not many people... Because that's not a normal lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
To be growing up in. And I don't know it firsthand, but I know the emotional stress and feelings that you must be going through. And for those who go through that, you guys are strong.
Yeah, you know, it takes being resilient, and maybe some relationships are irreparable, but for the most part, our hearts go out to you. That must have been hard. That must have been really challenging to grow up in that way.
That's the story of our parents.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The thing about our parents, they were like in their 20s when they came to Canada. Your dad was a teenager. Your dad was a teenager in the hood, man, in Montreal, man. In the hood. Let me tell you that one time. Your dad was a gangster. Your dad is a straight gangster.
Why do you think we built like this then?
Okay.
No, I'm going to be honest. I resented my mom for a little bit. Yeah. I grew up with my parents, with my grandparents. I was glad that I did. But then when I was growing up and my mom was telling me off, it's like, lady, who are you? Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up with you, and you look at you, you know.
How about your relationship with your dad? Was it when you came back?
When I first came back, my dad was like my best friend. Like I was like to a point where he's like, I didn't even respect him in a fatherly way. And he got like really defensive. It's like, I'm not your buddy, man. You can't just like.
Daddy's girl?
Yeah, I was. And then when I turned teenager, yeah, I was his nightmare.
Oh, my God.
With boys. No, okay, here. Full disclaimer, you know, my dad was a flirt when he was younger.
A gangster.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not yet. Yeah, he was and he still is, man.
Yeah, that's he's a ladies' man. Yeah, he's a ladies' man. So obviously...
Runs in the blood, man.
Yeah, you
we'll
know.
Talk about
not giving that till I die, man.
Hot blood.
Yeah.
Hot blood.
So he was always paranoid. He was always paranoid karma was gonna get him through his daughters. Because there's this gangster. Yeah. Well,
it's called the player's curse. That's what I know it as. Do you know it as something else?
No.
It's called the player's curse.
Yeah. So are you scared you're gonna have daughters one day? Oh, geez.
Low key, like if I have all daughters, I don't know if I love them more. Like I would love to take care of more of a girl than a boy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like my little boy, mini me, right?
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
it's a girl, like it'll be a princess, like my little princess.
Yeah, that's true.
But if I get that, then little half Korean babies, half Filipino, half Korean babies,
hey.
Send them back to the Philippines. You know?
Send them to Korea.
Yeah, they're gonna be popping.
Send them some money. No, I'm kidding.
No, we gotta keep it to K-pop.
Start the cycle of trauma.
Yeah, oh my God.
I'm kidding. But long story short, for any of you out there that are, you know, of the younger generation, even second, third, or fourth generation, right? Let's just acknowledge and be mindful that we are fortunate and blessed and privileged to have social media and internet at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
We can make judgments and conclusions on our own. We're a little bit more savvy with, you know, identifying what's authentic or not.
Don't be oblivious.
Yeah, exactly. So when it comes to putting in the work with healing, you know, the relationships between us and going up against these toxic Filipino traits, grow into that power, reclaim that power into yourself that you can control that narrative, that you can make the choices to fix whatever problems that have been there that are maybe deep-seated, and that know that you are in control of improving things and making things better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, for example, maybe some of our parents don't know how to say sorry.
Not clearly.
True. Right? Some of them are passive aggressive. Then they blow up.
I hate passive aggressive people.
I know.
Like, they're worse. Like, I want to spit on them.
Yeah. But, you know, when we encounter that, we are in a state now where we can make these choices of how we can react to it. I think, like, for me, that's how I've been able to overcome, like, these challenges with, you know, the toxic Filipino traits in my family. And that could be the same with other families. I love my family, just to be clear. Obviously, I'm doing this podcast with my family, right? But I also acknowledge that there are some cultural traits that occur in Filipino households that are pretty common. How I've been able to deal with it is basically take charge of what I can control, and it's either knowing when to lay low and knowing when it's worth the battle or not.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes having to, even though it's so hard being as a younger person, to just humble down just for the sake of, it's like one of those things that is actually what makes you, quote, a bigger person than your elder. But that is all that you can control. You can't control how they grew up and how their experience were shaped. You can't control that is how their attitudes are, however poor it may be. But what you can control is how you can react to it.
Mm-hmm.
What you can control is, you know, taking the initiative, go to therapy. That is something that I want to bring up on another episode one day, because one time I mentioned therapy to my mom and she's like, I don't want people to know about my business. Yeah, it's so nice to know other people's business.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your own.
But when it comes to fixing your own, like, that's something that's so taboo, and something like, you know, the concept of therapy among Filipino parents is like so like...
I feel like Filipino parents need to go to therapy.
Yeah, they need therapy the most because they're immigrants. Right? So they've encountered trauma. They've encountered language barriers. They've encountered the trauma of being separated from their children. They've encountered the struggle of being a minor minority, or even they've experienced racist situations, right? And they've always kind of just put their head down. And then when their kids come over here and for once they actually are in a position of control, they compound that onto their children. They like almost dump it.
Yeah.
That hurt.
They project it.
Yeah, and that's why they really should consider therapy. But it's not a normal thing in our culture.
It doesn't exist.
What is therapy?
Yeah, therapy or counseling,
it's
actually.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Because then most of the time they just be like, we got God instead.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do a lot of more holistic stuff.
You also got to put in your own work, yeah. It's because it's all they know. Like, whatever they know is all they know. They're not open to other methods or approaches.
But they're conditioned to knowing what they are.
But let's go, guys. Let's, you know, come into our power. Let's put in the work. If you got to talk to somebody, you got to, if it's not a friend, if you want an outside perspective and you talk to a therapist or a counselor, like when my grandma died, all of my family was in the same state of grief. None of us could lean on each other, honestly. And I was in such despair. I really had... And it took, you know, my boss and maybe HR to tell... It's not that I was showing my grief anywhere. I was just, like, dead inside. And it was, like, weird because I'm going through work and I was just not engaging with anybody just because I was going through my grief. And it really took them saying, like, hey, you should probably talk to the therapist or the counselor to really get that out. I did. And he let me cry, and it's great. And he was so wonderful to just be an open ear. Also, when it's not close to you, like, you know, it's funny how you can open up to a stranger because you don't feel like you're going to be judged versus like a friend or family. Sometimes you don't know if they've had come up with a conception in their brain of what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, long story short, my family wouldn't have thought to suggest that for sure, because that's not a normal thing we deal with in Filipino culture.
They would just say, just deal with it.
Yeah. Just you're like, get over it. Yeah. Get over it. Just like, just sleep it off.
How much did the counselor charge you? Like, $3 bills?
No, it was a... It was free, fortunately.
Actually?
Yeah, because he was contracted to my company.
Oh, so you get that benefit?
Yeah, nice. So he comes in every second Friday.
What's that called? Employment? It's like a...
I don't know.
I know there's some...
There's a word for it.
They have, like, wellness programs.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Jobs. Yeah. And some companies also believe in, like, a mental wellness program where they actually provide you with, you know, like, some sort of subsidy or some sort of, like, credit. Yeah, so. To put into paying for whatever day that you need to see a therapist and stuff. But anyways, we'll... crack into that on a different different episode. Yeah. So today's we talked about toxic Filipino traits. It is common, let's say, for us now in our generation technology, because like I don't like the older generation, they don't talk about this stuff. They don't talk about this. We're a bit more woke, so to say, because of the age of information. We grew up in the age of information. We grew up in the age of the internet. We grew up with all these other informations around us that we're able to associate these traits that are seem to be a common occurrence. We're able to associate therapy and counseling and anxiety and trauma and generational trauma is in the culture, but it's not been acknowledged. And then now, like, a lot more and more people are able to actually identify that, yeah, that is actually what we're all experiencing, what we've experienced at one point, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's pretty much... Do you guys have any other notes you want to share about toxic Filipino traits?
I'm sure there's so many.
Yeah.
I feel like
there's a lot.
Don't forget to share them with us if you guys have some, you know, you want us to hash out in the podcast.
Yeah, because there's way too much. It's
too broad a topic for sure, but this is definitely
there's a lot.
One part of it. At the end of the day, all we gotta say is, you know, if we just remember to have love and respect and kindness among each other, let's just watch out for each other's back, and that way we can elevate the fellow Filipino.
Yeah.
Right? That might not have happened in the generation of our families or parents, but we're the captain now.
Yo, man, all I gotta say is, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah.
You know? So, I'm gonna leave it at that one on my part. But yeah.
Yeah. So let's switch it to something else fun, right? At the end of everything, at the end of every episode, we gotta, what is it called? Switch it to something fun, something trivial. You know, right now we're all still kind of quarantined at home. We can't really travel. I miss traveling.
Bro, I was supposed to go to Europe this year.
Yeah, she was supposed to go to Europe. Where were you going to travel? I thought you were
supposed
Korea.
To go to Korea, Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that we can't do that physically right now, there's no harm in fantasizing about it still. So where is the next place you would like to travel to as soon as, you know, we get the all clear post-COVID? Other than what you guys have mentioned, like, is there also another dream place you want to travel to, you want to get to visit?
I think I want to visit Australia.
Ooh, yes.
I want to visit Australia.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my bucket list. I don't know why, but I want to go there.
Yeah, that'll be them. Just go to Whistler.
Oh, fuck. F that. Too many of them there.
If you guys don't know, if you're listening from somewhere else, Whistler, BC, Canada, it's considered as another Australia or second Australia.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of Australians in Whistler. They love outdoor sports, winter sports.
Even the workers are like, what the heck?
Yeah, everybody's
girls,
Australian.
Whistler is all Australian people, man. Shoot.
Yeah, how about you? Where would you like to travel this soon?
You already know. I'll meet you on the other side. I'll go to New Zealand real quick.
Yeah, that is her dream place.
No, the White House has more COVID cases than
New Zealand
right now. I want to go there. I can go there right now.
Yeah, actually, yeah. What about New Zealand that appeals to you?
I think their culture is so cool, like Polynesian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. It's just so fascinating to me. I don't
you
know
come
why.
Back doing the haka?
Honestly, I just might get off that plane in that airport and I'm going to just be banging on my It's so cool. I don't know, man. But yeah, I'd go to New Zealand. What about you?
We were supposed to also go to Europe. And I still dream about it. I really want to go to Italy. Florence, I want to go to Amalfi Coast, Positano. I love food. I love just the Italian architecture and you know, I'm still fiending for that, still dreaming of it. My background is it. So when this is all over, I hope to do that. But nobody knows when this is all over. So that's why you guys got to keep on tuning in with us during the quarantine on this podcast. Well, with that said, we just want to thank you guys again for tuning in. By the way, we just want to let you know that if you have any other ideas, any other thoughts, you can now email us. You can email us at contact@filipinofridays.com. Actually, you can contact any one of us if you're more comfortable. There's OJ, OJAY at filipinofridays.com. There's Archia, Archia, at FilipinoFridays.com. And there's also me, Archie, hey, at Archie, Archie, at FilipinoFridays.com. So if you feel free, you can also DM us on Filipino Fridays Podcast on Insta.
Don't be shy. Let us know.
Yeah, we love y'all. Yeah, slide in. Shoot us the DMs. Shoot your shot. We're going to answer for sure.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Email us. And we got some really exciting episodes coming up with you guys, and we just want to kind of give you a little bit of a tidbit. So if some of you are following us on the Insta, you already know there's going to be hot episode, a dating episode with the Pinoys. You want to give us a little preview of what you're going to share, OJ?
I don't know, man. There's no visuals on this podcast.
Sure. It's going to be an explicit, mature podcast.
I will. Y'all ain't ready for this.
But it'll be a good one, trust.
Yeah, me and Archie are going to take a step back for this one. We're going to let the boys shine. So OJ and two other friends are going to jump in, and they're going to share their dating experiences as Pinoys, because they have experiences dating Filipinos and non-Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, not only that is going to be a good episode, but we have a really good lineup coming up in the next few weeks, right?
Yes, that's right. We got a music episode coming up. We got a food episode coming up. We got a film experience. We got an immigrant experience. We also have an artist experience.
It'll be our first guest too.
Yeah, so it'll be really cool. We're so excited. Thank you to everybody that's reached out, and a thank you in advance to our guests that are coming on. We're so excited to have you, and we cannot wait for you guys to meet them. I think you'll really, really enjoy hanging out with them. So
Y'all ain't ready, man.
Yeah, it'll be
so exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for today's episode. Catch us again on the pod. Watch out for us. Again, this is Archie.
OJ.
Archia.
Let's get it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
In Vancouver.
It's like having a clown in your head.
I'm getting tired of pulling the judgment card. Gotta act on your decisions, and frankly, it's kind of hard. I wanna start at the beginning and end at the end. I kinda wish you didn't wanna be my friend. Ran another race, I'm always coming in last. Smile on my face, I make it look like a blast. It's all about the chase, I just can't go any faster. Faster. It's easy to make fun of me, I know that I'm quite naive. I start dreaming and then I start to believe. Things that aren't true, I gotta stop for a minute. Gotta think about reality, I'm barely even in it. Had another dream about the end of the world. Angel of death with her wings unfurled. Yelling in the sky, but it's all stuff that I've already heard. look easy even though it's not. Feeling like an astronaut out in space. No one else around to see the look on my face.
Don't know how I ever got this down. I wish I never seen your face. You've had me 1,000 times before, but I'm missing you right now. Campus?
Or are you a member of an AMS club that throws events?
We're the Calendar, and our mission is to support you and your club in making your dream event a reality.
We want to cover everything, from UBC Winter Classic to Generosity's Renew Years, from UBC Rec Storm the Wall to AMS Events Pastels and Pinot.
Check out our website at thecalendar.ca to get more information on what we do, how to contact us.
And check out our calendar for all the fun and crazy events happening right here at UBC every day.
On January 17th, CITR 101.9 FM presents our annual 24 hours of radio art programming featuring innovative approaches to music and sound. It's 24 hours of spoken word, ambient, drone, field recordings, and sound walks, collage, technical support calls, voicemail fails, sound art, and noise. Listen live on CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca. For more details and submission requirements, email us at radioart@CITR.ca.
Thank you. Remember number seven.
Ooh, ain't no gangster shit, this warrior shit. Champ style, did I hurt your shit?
Cop a trip.
Ooh. I don't really care about he say, she say bullshit, oh yes. Fuck being humble, I'm all in the day, like some shots with no chase.
You rest.
Pow, wow, ow, ow. West Coast step when I'm walking it down. Light skin, Nietzsche, that's your dizzy. I'm my mama's child. All eyes on me, they watching us now. Middle fingers up, I'm Tupac-ing it out. Long hair, don't care, boy, I do what I want. Got a party in the back, chief and council in the front. So spit game, talking shit, blah, blah, blah. You the lambs on the fuck with, nah, nah, nah. Shot my blood in my veins, hey, y'all, hey, y'all. Native tongue, but my name got soul like daylight. Wah, spot it, out it. I'm so delicious. Them haters talking. I blow them kisses real deadly. When it all fall down, I can fall like confetti.
Fall like confetti.
Let's blow up already.
Blow up.
My goonies go stupid like Eddie and Eddie.
Eddie and Eddie.
I told you my nature, remember who said it.
Remember who
said it. Snotty nose up to no good. I do what I want, what's good.
Go.
My nature, I wish you would. There's still an engine that could. I was dead to the world for a minute. Then when I put it in my head, I'm living. Linda, honey, listen. I'm just the hardcore living. Whoa, I'm growing, I'm building my head through the ceiling. Who wanna come with us? I'm one in a million. I'm one with the vision. Young man's on a mission. My brother, that fool, but damn it, I miss him. We born in a system created for killing. The vision might kill us. Creator, we willing to kill with the shit. It's all part of the business. I'm God. Creator, my witness. Real deadly. Keep it 100. Jeopardy. Big brain energy. I'm a man, I'm a beast. Each rapper's all of my recipe. New ones, only ones next to me. Life's a bitch, mine's destiny. Fuck with me, I won't miss a beat. Working on for this legacy, real deadly.
Real deadly.
When it all fall down, I can fall like confetti.
Fall like confetti.
My niche's been ready, let's blow up already.
Blow up.
My goonies go stupid like Eddie and Eddie.
Eddie and Eddie.
I told you my niche, remember who said it.
Remember who
number
said it.
Seven.
Thank you. kids! Are you missing the excitement of a good local live punk show? Cheap beer, sweat, filthy washrooms, ringing ears, and mostly crowds are for your pals? We'll pick up the new Ape War Needs 7-inch EP, Two Lil Shits, on Bandcamp at your fave local record shops or streaming in all the streamy places. You'll still miss all of that? But with a new bunch of tunes to put into your ear holes, check them out at Ape War1 on Bandcamp.com or Needs Vancouver on Bandcamp.com. Hope to see y'all soon.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude.
Only on CITR.